This morning, she was 15 minutes late. That's the third time this week.
Picard ignores her.
Jean-Luc, you don't have the slightest idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No. I'm really sorry, I don't.
I've been telling you about Nurse Ogawa and Ensign Markson for the last 15 minutes.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry.
Are you worried about this mission with the Kes?
Not worried, exactly. This notion of admitting half their planet while leaving the other half out.
First of all, the Kes are not half the planet. They're nearly three-quarters of it. And the Prit are not being left out. They themselves simply don't want to have contact with anyone from the outside, not the Federation or anyone else.
Every member of the Federation entered as a unified world. And that unity said something about them, that they had resolved certain social and political differences and they were now ready to become part of a larger community.
By all indications, the Kes are a very unified, very progressive people.
But the Prit are not. They're reclusive to the point of xenophobia.
Well, think about Earth. What if one of the old nation states, say Australia, had decided not to join the world government in 2150? Would that have disqualified us as a Federation member?
That analogy is not exactly...
Riker to Captain.
Go ahead, number one.
We've received word from Ambassador Morik. He's ready to see you and Dr. Crusher.
Inform him we're on our way. Thank you for breakfast.
Wait until tomorrow. I have something very special planned. It's a Vulcan dish. That's all I'll say.
Picard raises his eyebrows, and they head for the transporter room.
Captain, Doctor, I have the coordinates of Ambassador Morok's chambers.
Let's all keep them waiting, Mr. Worf.
Enterprise to Kes Security Relay Station 1. We are ready to commence transport.
Acknowledged, Enterprise. We have lowered our defense shield.
Confirmed.
Energize.
The pair dematerialize, and Worf makes to leave the transporter room.
This is Security Relay Station 1. We are ready to receive your captain and medical officer.
This is the Enterprise. We have already completed the transport sequence. You should have them.
Negative, Enterprise. They're not here.
Worf is thunderstruck by the dreadful news. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Attached, voiced by Roland Bean. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to a warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Picard lies unconscious in a darkened room on a dusty flagstoned floor. He awakes groggily and looks around him. He sees Dr. Crusher, also unconscious, lying nearby.
Beverly. Beverly.
She blinks awake and looks uncertainly around her.
What happened?
I don't know.
Oh. The last thing I remember, we were beginning to transport.
I assume we must be on Kesprit.
And we're in some kind of prison cell. The question is why?
I can't imagine that Ambassador Morrick would have any reason to detain us.
Jean-Luc.
What is it?
There is something on Picard's neck.
Let me see.
What?
Looks like an implant. Seems to be connected directly to the brainstem.
There is a similar device on Beverly's neck.
Some kind of coercive device?
Whatever it is, I doubt it's designed for our health.
Three armed Prit enter.
What is going on here?
If you could tell us why you've taken us hostage, we might be able
to... You are not hostages. You are prisoners.
Prisoners on whose authority?
You're being held under the authority of the Prit Security Ministry. The charges are conspiring with the enemy.
Enemy? You mean the Kess?
We are not fools. We are aware of the Federation attempt to establish a military alliance with the Kess. It will not be tolerated.
Your information is incorrect. We have no plans
there
to enter
no
into any...
There is no point in trying to mislead us, Captain. The devices which have been implanted in your cerebral cortexes will soon be calibrated to your psi wave pattern. At that time, we will be able to get all the information we need.
And then you'll discover that we are telling the truth.
We shall see.
Picard sighs in exasperation. Aboard the orbiting Enterprise, answers are being sought to the Captain and Dr. Crusher's disappearance.
There is nothing wrong with the transporter. I've run a complete diagnostic of all the targeting components.
Then what happened to the Captain and Dr. Crusher?
Commander, the transporter's sensor log shows an unusual concentration of anti-graviton particles in the emitter coil.
A concentration of anti-graviton particles suggests a tractor beam. It might have deflected the transporter beam to a different set of coordinates.
Is there a way to locate those coordinates?
The tractor beam originated somewhere in the Prit Alliance.
Now, what does the Prit want with Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher?
I don't know. And it's not going to be easy to find out. The Prit have consistently refused all outside contact. We're going to have to work through the Kess. Contact Ambassador Morrick. Tell him I want a meeting right now.
Aye, sir.
Riker strides out to meet the Kess ambassador. In the Prit cell, Picard is testing the bars on the window.
What?
What?
You're staring at me.
I was just thinking about how to get out of here.
There may be a structural flaw that would allow us to escape.
Right.
Beverly, the important thing during any confinement is to think positively and not give up hope. There is a way out of every box, a solution to every puzzle. It's just a matter of finding it.
A nervous-looking Prit guard places a covered platter just inside the cell door. Picard rushes the doors as they begin to close.
Damn!
Well, at least this means we won't starve to death.
Means they plan on keeping us here for a while.
I'm beginning to think negatively, Jean-Luc.
She lifts the lid of the platter.
My tricorder.
Does it work?
Yes. Except something's been added to the main directory.
It's a map.
An escape route. That guard must be working for the Kess.
Possibly. It could be part of a very carefully laid trap.
But if you ask me, I'd like to take my chances out there.
Agreed. Is there a way to open the cell door?
Yes, the code's been entered.
They step cautiously out of the cell, and checking the tricorder, move carefully away down the corridor. On the Enterprise, Ambassador Morrick is in conference with the senior officers.
Commander, on behalf of my government, I would like to take this opportunity to present my profound apologies regarding this unfortunate incident.
That's very kind, Ambassador. But I don't think anyone here holds you or the Kess government responsible for what happened.
Our primary concern is not to assign blame, but to recover our missing officers.
I agree. We are prepared to insert a hostage rescue team into the Prit capital city on 3 hours' notice.
Ambassador, we have not even attempted a diplomatic effort yet. I would rather not use force until we have exhausted all other options.
I don't believe there is any diplomatic option, Commander. I mean, we have no formal relations with the Prit. No ambassadors. There's simply no way to contact them.
Surely you must have some means of communication in case of a planetary emergency.
We have never had need of such a system.
We can determine their communications frequencies and establish a link.
Allow me to be blunt.
The Prit are fanatical, xenophobic people with little regard for civilized discourse. Even if you do establish a communications link with them, it'll be a complete waste of time.
How long has it been since your last diplomatic contact?
Almost a century.
Then it's possible they may have changed over the years.
We have had other, less formal contacts with Prit. Contacts we cannot discuss. But I can assure you, they have changed very little.
With all due respect, Ambassador, I think I should try to communicate with the Prit before I sanction the use of force.
Of course, Commander. In the meantime, I will continue making preparations for a rescue mission.
Agreed.
I do have one request. We believe that the Prit obtained their information about the transport of your captain and doctor through a breach of our communications network. If I could establish a base of operations here on the Enterprise, I'd feel much more secure.
Mr. Worf will help you.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Worf escorts the ambassador and his aide to guest quarters. Opening the door, he ushers the ambassador inside.
You first.
With a frown, Worf leads the way into the room. He watches puzzled as the ambassador and his aide scan the room, looking in corners and taking tricorder readings.
Is there a problem, Ambassador?
Probably not. Simply securing the area.
I can assure you, there is no need.
I'm sure you're right. Yes, this will do very nicely.
As security chief of the Enterprise, I would be glad to assist you in any way possible.
There's no need. We'll take care of everything. Thank you, Lieutenant.
With ill-concealed irritation, Worf leaves the room. On the planet, Picard and the Doctor are making their way through a series of caves. It is uncomfortably warm.
There must be a lava flow or an underground hot spring somewhere near here.
It's a lava flow. It's about 30 meters below us. It says we should go this way.
They enter a large chamber.
I smell gas.
Flames erupt from the floor in front of them.
This whole chamber is filled with pockets of a methanogenic compound.
Can we get through it?
I think so.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. There might be a fairly regular pattern to these eruptions. We should be able to navigate our way through them if we're careful.
Say when?
Now.
They run safely past the jets of flame and proceed cautiously down the next section of corridor, pausing to take regular tricorder readings.
Stopped.
The gas is building up.
They dive for cover as a massive fireball erupts behind them. On the bridge of the Enterprise, Data and Riker look for solutions.
I have scanned the entire Prit communication system. This appears to be the primary access module for their central government.
Can you determine which of the comlinks is connected to the Prime Minister's office?
I believe so, sir. However, the Prit have no link designed for extraterritorial communication. Our hail may come as quite a surprise to them.
Well, they're going to have to adjust. Open a channel.
This is Prime Minister Horath's headquarters. How can I be of service?
This is Commander William T. Riker, Federation Starship Enterprise. I know this may seem an unusual way
to... The Enterprise? You mean the ship in orbit?
That's right.
Why are you on this comlink?
We're having trouble contacting your government directly. We had to start somewhere. If you would let me talk
Did you get authorization for this communication from the Security Ministry?
As I said, we're having trouble contacting
I cannot participate in an unauthorized communication. This transmission is terminated.
Riker gives a wry smile.
Not very friendly, are they?
No, sir.
Sir, we are being hailed. It is the Prit Security Council.
Well, it looks like we got someone's attention on screen.
Enterprise. This is Security Minister Lauren. You will immediately cease all attempts at communication with our people.
Minister, we have been attempting to contact someone in your government. It appears that you have detained two of our officers. We would like to discuss the situation.
There is nothing to discuss. If you do not terminate these transmissions, we will be forced to take aggressive action against your ship.
Their weapon systems pose no threat to the Enterprise.
Just the same, let's keep the shields up for the time being.
Aye, sir.
Is there a problem, Commander?
Our effort with the Prit just ran into a wall.
I'm sorry, but perhaps this will brighten your spirits. We have freed your captain and doctor.
What?
They were being held in prison just outside the Prit capital, but one of our operatives was able to arrange their escape.
Where are they now?
Well, they should be en route to the Kes border. Our operative provided them with a detailed map and instructions on where to go.
How will you get them across the border?
At the moment, that information's confidential, but trust us, we do have a plan.
Ambassador, I'm afraid I must insist that you provide us with more information.
Oh, I understand your concern, of course, but I would feel more comfortable discussing these operational details in a less public environment.
Certainly, we can step into the ready room.
I would prefer the quarters you provided me. They're safer.
All right.
Riker ushers the ambassador off the bridge. On the planet, Crusher and Picard make their way through ever smaller corridors.
There's no way out of here.
Maybe we took a wrong turn.
So am I.
What?
I'm thirsty too.
I didn't say anything about being thirsty.
I heard you. You said I'm very thirsty.
I was thinking about it, but I didn't say anything.
You were thinking it.
The transceivers. Lauren said that they would align themselves to our psi wave patterns.
The implants must be transmitting our thoughts. What am I thinking?
I don't know.
I can't hear your thoughts either. Well, maybe it was a fluke.
Well, right now we have more immediate concerns. Does your map show us a way out of here?
Yes. We need to go up.
They move into a large cavern with high, rocky walls.
There's a ledge about 30 meters up. That should lead to another tunnel that connects up to the surface.
Right.
Picard begins to climb. Suddenly he turns to Beverly.
I heard that. They were not words exactly. A sudden sense of fear. A sense of fear of heights.
So much for that being a fluke.
It was a strange sensation. Suddenly having these thoughts appear in my mind.
If you sensed a fear of heights, you sensed pretty accurately.
Come on. You've done this before. It's just like on the holodeck. One step at a time. Just climbing, steadily and slowly.
Right.
They begin to climb carefully together. On the Enterprise, Ambassador Morik's quarters are filled with electronic instruments. Riker is scanned as he enters the room.
I see you've done some redecorating.
Just a few pieces of equipment necessary for security reasons. You understand?
Certainly.
He is, all right.
How do you plan to get our people out of Prit territory?
You must realize that everything I'm about to say cannot leave this room. For some time, we have had certain friends among the Prit. Citizens who realize that the long struggle between our two peoples can only end when the Prit government is made to see reason.
You've recruited a few Prit spies.
That's a crude but accurate term. These friends will be waiting for your captain and doctor when they reach the village of Encore near the Kes border. The map we provided your officers will take them to a tavern there.
Forgive me, Ambassador, but is it wise to send two human fugitives in Starfleet uniforms into a Prit village?
The danger is minimal. Our operatives control almost the whole village. Once contact has been made with Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher, our friends will escort them across the border into Kes.
I would still feel better if they could rendezvous with your operatives in a less public place.
Commander, I assure you, we know what we're doing. We've had a great deal of experience of dealing with the Prit. We'd hardly risk the safety of your people. After all, we still hope that you will recommend our entrance into the Federation.
Riker raises a skeptical eyebrow at the ambassador's statement. On the planet, Picard and Crusher emerge from the caves. They take stock of their surroundings and move off, following the tricorder's map. The surroundings are pleasant with lush green vegetation.
One of us is hungry.
That would be me.
Do you mind thinking of something else? You're making me hungry.
What do you want me to think about?
Something other than a large bowl of vegetable soup.
Oh, my grandmother used to make it with peas, carrots, and...
Beverly!
Meat. I'm sorry.
I am not being unreasonable.
I didn't say that you were. I may have thought it, but there's a difference.
You're right. We can't react to every random thought that crosses the other person's mind. Isn't it astonishing, though, how much clutter there is in the consciousness? Odd memories coming to the surface, bits of half-remembered songs.
Stray daydreams, scattered minutiae. Wonder how true telepaths sift through it all. How can they really get to what someone's thinking if the mind keeps churning all this flotsam to the surface? That is not funny.
I wanted to see if you were still listening.
I think our link is getting stronger.
Maybe if we put some distance between us, that might weaken it. Not that I'm growing tired of hearing your most intimate thoughts.
Certainly not.
They move apart.
Jean-Luc.
Doubled over in agony, Jean-Luc returns to Beverly.
What happened?
Oh, I was suddenly overcome with a wave of nausea.
Me too.
There's nothing wrong with either of us. Maybe the air is toxic.
As Beverly moves away, they both double over once again. She quickly returns to his side.
Oh, same thing. But when you moved back to me, it got better. Well, it seems as if we're stuck with each other.
Exchanging an anxious look, they move hesitantly away, shoulder to shoulder. Jean-Luc and Beverly move carefully through a terrain which has now become harsher and rockier. Beverly suddenly stops, studying her tricorder.
What is it?
I'm not sure whether we should go over this hill or that one. The topography on this map is a little vague.
Let me see.
He studies the tricorder.
This way.
You don't really know, do you?
What?
I mean, you're acting like you know exactly which way to go, but you're only guessing. Do you do this all the time?
No, but there are times when it is necessary for a captain to give the appearance of confidence.
Beverly feigns shock.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist.
I'm beginning to realize that you always seem to have some acerbic remark on the tip of your tongue.
Well, at least I've trained myself not to say it anymore.
Picard looks unamused.
When I was a little girl, my mouth was always landing me in trouble. With my parents, my teachers.
And your friends? There was someone called Tom Norris?
That's right. I had one date with him, which I brought to an abrupt halt with the words, "Is that a beard or
is your face dirty? There's something more. You're laughing, but actually you were embarrassed by that incident.
Yes. I thought I was being cute, but I really hurt him. That was a long time ago. I learned a valuable lesson.
The sharing of thoughts and feelings is quite compelling.
Very. We'd better get going.
Scrambling down a rocky slope, they suddenly recoil and hide behind a large rock as an armed Pritt trooper appears on an outcrop above them.
I don't think so either. Maybe we can find another way to reach the village.
Several kilometers to find another way around that ridge. The border is just 2 kilometers east of here. There's a force field protecting it, but we can find some way to deal with that when we get there. Come on.
They move off hastily. Back on the Enterprise, entering the ambassador's cabin, Worf and Riker are again scanned before being allowed to proceed.
right.
Something wrong?
Have a seat. Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher did not show up at the designated rendezvous point.
Do you know what happened to them?
No, we have no idea what happened to them.
We find it strange that your officers should follow the escape plan so precisely and then fail to make the crucial rendezvous with our operative.
Well, it is possible they have been recaptured.
Our sources would have informed us instantly if that had happened. Of course, if they weren't captured, if they simply made a different rendezvous, we might not ever know about it.
A different rendezvous? I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Of course not.
How could you know if your captain and doctor were meeting secretly with the Prit? Meeting in order to set up a military alliance with the Federation.
What?
It was a clever scheme. First, you pretend to lose your officers during transport. Then you ask us for help and get us to expose several of our undercover operatives in the process. But what you didn't expect was for us to get your people out of prison so quickly. They needed more time. They needed more time to plot the destruction of the Kez with their new Prit friends.
This is ridiculous. You're beginning to see conspiracies everywhere. We were invited here by the Kess. Why would we ally ourselves with the Prit?
Indeed. Why?
You can believe what you like. We're going to find our people with or without your help.
Then I believe it is time for us to be leaving the Enterprise.
Fine. Make sure you take all this junk with you.
Looking disgusted, Riker and Worf leave. It is nighttime on the surface. Jean-Luc and Beverly have made a campfire.
No luck.
I'm beginning to think there's not a single thing on this planet we can eat.
Well, by this time tomorrow, we can be back on board the Enterprise and you can plant yourself in front of a replicator with a knife and fork.
Remember that Vulcan dish I promised for breakfast? Well, I was just... You hate having breakfast with me.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. When I said breakfast, I heard you say I hate that.
That's not quite what I meant.
Well, then what did you mean?
It's just that I don't like...
What I've been choosing for breakfast recently.
You see, I think that breakfast should be a simple meal, and recently you've been ordering these elaborate things.
Coffee and croissant. That's all you really want, isn't it? Coffee and croissant. Well, why didn't you just say so?
I didn't think it was important. You don't like those elaborate meals either.
No, I usually prefer something simple myself, but I thought you might enjoy more variety. Well, I guess it's coffee and croissant for both of us from now on.
They exchange a warm smile. Jean-Luc takes a stick to poke the fire, and they both stare into the embers.
I love firelight. There's something about the flame, the smell of the smoke. It's always seemed to me to be intoxicating somehow.
I remember when Jack and I took Wesley on his first camping trip to Belfour Lake.
Wesley kept throwing manta leaves into the fire, watching them pop. Jack kept telling him... What?
She suddenly frowns and looks up at Jean-Luc, who is staring into the flames.
Jean-Luc, I heard you. Don't push it away. When I said Jack and I felt this sudden wave of something. I didn't know you felt that way.
Didn't you?
I guess I always knew that there was an attraction between us right from the start, but I never knew how strongly you felt. Why didn't you ever tell me you were in love with me?
You were married to my best friend. At first, I thought it was harmless infatuation, something hormonal rather than emotional.
Then when the months went by and the three of us began spending more time together,
I realized that it was something else, and it wasn't right. But although I would never act on it, I couldn't help the way I felt.
And when Jack died, you felt guilty.
I felt guilty before he died, having feelings like that for my best friend's wife. And then later, after the accident, I promised myself that I would never tell you how I felt. It would be like betraying my friend.
That's why you didn't want me on the Enterprise 7 years ago.
I didn't know how I would react. And then, little by little, I realized that I didn't have those feelings anymore.
20 years is, after all, a long time.
And now we're friends.
Yes, friends.
They look into each other's eyes and hold hands briefly before looking back into the fire. The atmosphere between them is slightly uncomfortable. Suddenly, Beverly stands.
Well, we still have a lot of ground to cover tomorrow. We should get some sleep.
Right.
Beverly gets up and moves around to the opposite side of the fire and lays down with her back to the fire and Jean-Luc. He watches her intently. He stands and moves over to lie down beside her. They do not touch. He is lying on his back, looking at the stars as the night closes in around them. On the Enterprise, Ambassador Morik enters the bridge.
Ambassador, thank you for coming.
Commander?
We're going to clear up this misunderstanding once and for all. Hail Minister Lauren, please.
Aye, sir.
Enterprise, I have warned you about these unauthorized communications.
Yes, I know. But I think it's about time we all sat down together and tried to work this out. I have Ambassador Morik here.
That is your misfortune. We have nothing to say to either of you.
Commander, you're working with the Prit. Putting on this little show for my benefit does neither of us any good.
We'll see, Mr. Worf.
Worf presses buttons on his console.
I believe there's someone waiting for us in the observation lounge.
Worf almost grins as Riker ushers the Ambassador out of the bridge.
I should have known anyone willing to deal with the Kess would be capable of such an outrage.
I'm sorry to resort to such drastic measures, Minister, but you left me little choice.
Don't pretend the two of you are enemies. It's too late for charades.
If that is an attempt to hide your military alliance with the Federation, you needn't bother. I already know far more than you can imagine.
Let's all just sit down and try to find out what happened to Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher.
I will not sit at a table with him.
No more than I would sit with her.
All right, then, we'll stand. The important thing is that we start talking.
I am not authorized to talk with a Kess official.
All right, then you talk to me. Where are my officers?
As if you don't know already.
Riker flashes the Ambassador a dangerous look. On the surface, armed Prit troopers pursue Picard and Crusher.
Let's go.
Scrambling down a steep hillside, Picard is almost hit by a shot from a Prit weapon. It sends him sprawling. Beverly rushes to help him to his feet.
I'm all right.
They scramble quickly away.
We are already aware of your plan to use Federation technology to build new attack satellites. You will find that we are prepared for them.
That is an interesting but pointless lie. I'd rather discuss your own plans to use Federation aid to stage a takeover of Korod Island.
We have been over this before. Korod clearly belongs to the Prit who originally...
That's it! I can see that diplomacy is not going to get us anywhere today, and I do not have time to negotiate. So let's put all of our cards on the table. You're concerned that the Kess are going to be admitted to the Federation.
Correct.
As first officer of the Enterprise, I think I can promise you that is not going to happen. The Kess will be denied membership.
You have no authority to make that decision. Despite whatever games you played with Prit when you arrived, we still plan to take our petition directly to the Federation Council. They'll listen.
They will also listen to the reports of the captain of the Enterprise and his first officer. And I can tell you right now, the first officer's report will go something like this. Kesprit. A deeply troubled world. Social, political, military problems that they have yet to resolve. The Kess, while a friendly and democratic people, are driven by suspicion, deviousness, and paranoia. It is the opinion of this officer that they are not ready for membership. Now, the matter of our missing officers.
They are still charged with spying, Commander. I have heard nothing here which would alter that.
Then maybe you should consider this. If anything happens to them, Starfleet is going to want a full investigation, which means more starships will be coming to Kesprit, and those ships are going to want answers, which puts your country under a very large and very uncomfortable microscope. Remember how unhappy you were when we contacted just one of your people without authorization? Well, just think what it'd be like. 10 starships asking questions, contacting hundreds of your people, massive sensor sweeps. They may even start sending down away teams, all because you wouldn't help me find my missing officers.
Lauren looks uncomfortable. Running through rocks and scrubland, Jean-Luc and Beverly suddenly stop in front of the shimmering green haze of the force field, which is the Kes-Prit frontier.
I think I can use the tricorder to set up a multi-phase pulse. That should weaken the force field enough to let us through.
Oh no, the modulation frequency is in the upper harmonic range.
Right.
The shimmering force field is still in place as several armed Prit approach.
They're coming.
I'm working as fast as I can.
The Prit are almost upon them as a hole appears in the force field. Quickly, Beverly pushes Picard through. The hole closes behind him. The Prit capture Beverly.
Minister, we have the human female. The male is standing in Kes territory.
Very well. Transmit their coordinates to the Enterprise transporter room.
Understood.
Thank you, Minister. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Riker leaves Morik and Lauren standing in awkward silence. Now safely back on board, Picard and Crusher are escorted from the transporter room by Riker.
Morik is determined to take his protest to the Federation Council, but I don't think he'll get very far.
I tend to agree, Number One.
Picard glances at Beverly.
Did I miss something?
Of course. Of course. You're absolutely right.
Riker stares at the pair, mystified.
That was wonderful.
My pleasure.
Don't get me wrong, Jean-Luc, but I'm glad we're not joined at the hip any longer.
So, were you getting tired of my company?
Just tired of bumping into you every 30 seconds.
I was beginning to feel as if you were part of my uniform.
Having served the port, Jean-Luc raises his glass.
To freedom.
Freedom.
Smiling, they drink, and then sit down on opposite sofas. Picard looks thoughtful.
Penny, for your thoughts.
I was just thinking that as distracting as it was, I was beginning to get used to hearing your thoughts, and I find that I miss it.
So do I. It was very intimate. You know, last night I couldn't sleep.
Oh?
I was awake for several hours, and thanks to the implants, I got to hear some very interesting dreams of yours.
A man cannot be held responsible for what his mind does while he's asleep.
What about when he's awake?
She smiles knowingly at him. Jean-Luc reaches over and takes her hand.
So now that we've had this unique experience, what do we do?
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean.
No, I don't. The implants have been removed, remember?
Jean-Luc rises and sits next to her.
Now that we know how each of us feels, perhaps we should not be afraid to explore those feelings.
Beverly leans over and kisses him gently on the cheek.
Or perhaps we should be afraid. I think I should be going now.
Jean-Luc smiles and kisses her lightly on the lips. They rise and move in silence towards the door. There is no awkwardness between them.
Good night.
Good night.
As the door closes behind her, a look of sadness passes over Beverly's features. She turns and walks to her own quarters. Back inside, Jean-Luc also looks sad, as though something has been lost. He blows out the candles on the table and stares out of the window as the Enterprise continues on its voyage. The end.